Den 11 juli 1980, första dagen med meditationskursen med Ruten i sån ljusback.
Tired. How did go the work? Let me see. I don't know names yet. Elsa, where are you?
Here.
Yes. How was your working?
I was carrying the baby around.
Oh, you were the babies. Did it go well? Were you satisfied?
It felt good. What came up was after a while, when the baby started to cry, and people, oh, I'm not good enough for this. And it went very well before.
So, when a baby's crying, then is just like the sunshine or the rain on the sky. It's a phenomenon which is belonging to a baby crying. But I have experience often that doesn't only belong actually to babies. We big ones, grown-up ones, cry also in other forms. Crying for something. It's a human phenomenon. With babies, I think it's more not necessarily that it is always the expression for wanting something else. I think it is part of their entertainment, crying. So, well, anyway, that was good, Elsa. You had some relationship. You awoke in some way here in your work. Ulla, well, she is sick. So she is a baby now. Herself. Jan, Didma, Jan. Or Jan. Jan. I have two. One Didma and one Jan Hermfeld. Where's Jan? Aha. See, there's a second one who's sick today. I think our friend Jeff didn't feel well either. He left. These are kind of natural reactions to a practice like this. Mind feels that it gets trained, and we are somehow after this mind, trying to balance it, to control it, to connect it more, to get it known. And it does not want to let this happen. Why? Because mind is very happy when it can flitter like a monkey from branch to branch and create its own world without any control. You all know that. We daydream. We love it. We dream of old experiences of the past. Lick it. And we also are very worried for what will occur, or very anticipating in a joyful or in a present way. What is going to happen tomorrow or another day or another day? So it always is somewhere else the mind, but not now here, you see. The baby cries, the mind did not accept. I hold the baby and cry. It says, oh, I must not be good. It has something else created. And that is what we are trying to awaken in us. What the mind is playing, where it is going, and to get it known each moment. Well, I hope you understood all what I said. Who did not understand everything? What I just said about the mind. One, two. Not more. Did you understand everything? Why didn't you raise your hand then?
Is it a question of English or is it a question of understanding?
English. English. Well, it would be mean also of understanding. You see, if you don't grasp the words, you can hardly understand. I think it goes both together. Not in all cases, but in most. So who didn't understand the English?
Man förstod inte engelska utav det här.
Everybody? Yes, another question about the work. That was very good, Elsa, what you shared. Who's Jakob? Gordon?
He's not here.
There are many not here. Paulden. I know he is here. Paulden, yes.
It was very good, actually.
Yeah?
It was very good work.
Well, can you be more specific?
Yes, putting up the hay. And I found quite a good, how can I say, sense of unity with what I was doing.
Relationship, it's also good to say.
Yeah.
With you and the work.
Yeah.
Unity or relationship.
It was also, I've been putting up hay a lot recently, and, and it was relative to the other times that I've been putting up hay, for example, it was quite
better.
Enjoyable.
Can you tell why it was more enjoyable than others times? Could you detect that?
I guess partially a better sort of flow inside me.
Perhaps also that you were not with your thoughts somewhere else.
Yes.
You see, you were accepting your activity. And in when the mind is not desiring anything else, you are just in relationship with what is, you see. And then it is enjoyable. Very good, Paulden. I just like to know a few things of this for...
I would say, actually, in correcting that, I would say my mind was somewhere else quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
But it's sort of the bringing back of the mind.
That's it. You were knowing that, remembering here and then. You see, you said you brought it back. That means you remember and you were aware that mind was somewhere else. That means you don't, you did not allow it all the time to run into its own world and to stay there. When the mind is unobserved for a long time, it creates not only a new world for itself, but it creates new desires and rejects the present moment. When you bring it back, you create the relationship more with what is there. And you don't allow the mind to run into fields and to desire something different than what is, you see. That makes that have more fuller relatedness to my work. That was very good. Important. So, another one perhaps, because we talked so much this morning, or 2 hours this morning I gave this discourse, I don't want to do another discourse tonight. So I only ask a few questions, how we related and experienced the day. I did it in a more personal level, the 10 I had this afternoon. The next 10 will come tomorrow. Sometimes it is good, or often, to share experiences with each other. It lets us also know that I am not alone experiencing the sadness or the pleasantness or the distractedness, whatever. I'm sharing my experiences with many other friends or fellow pilgrims. Well, let us see how Christina was working. Christina.
Here I am.
Oh yes, Christina.
I work where the wood, can't find the word.
Wood?
Wood.
Yes, we understand, mm-hmm. Wood. Mm-hmm.
Well, it felt good to work.
It did.
That I'm not quite well in my body, and I felt tired very soon.
Aha. Uh-huh. During the work you felt tired?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was it in the first time of meditation before I came down? Tired too? Yeah, right now, this evening.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you awoke from your tiredness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feeling tired is also a very natural phenomenon of life. When we overexhaust ourselves, overexert, we are tired. However, special in a course like this, in a practice like this, tiredness is very natural. It's a reaction also to this action or activity of the mind, observing. It does not like to be recognized, as we said before, the mind, and then it reacts and blocks and comes up with tiredness. It's a form of resistance for
resistance
meditation.
Wisdom.
Hmm?
Oh, I just translate.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe you translate this about the tiredness, Björn. Mm-hmm. Christina mentioned that she was tired.
Almost tired. Försvarsmekanism hos sinnet som inte vill omforma sig. Då blir man trött.
Did you say that? That was very short. Johan, you have so much pleasure with this. It was very short, huh? The translation.
Yes.
Was it right? Adequate? See how difficult it is to translate just speaking about tiredness. Now hear it again. So many mention now that we are being tired. I also see when I came down the staircase. Throughout the day, many of you were performing meditation like this. So, Christina said that she even was tired during the work. Now I say that tiredness can have the source in our exhaustion or in over by coming here and the effort we used. But on a deeper level, it has its source in that mind does not want to be controlled and to be mastered, which we do here in this practice. Now you translate that.
Det är inte bara trötthet efter resan som gör att man blir trött när man sitter här. Det är också det att sinnet vill inte bli kontrollerat, för det har den idén är ovant vid. Och då reagerar kroppen, sinnet och kroppen är som en enhet och man blir trött.
Good.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
If you say that the mind doesn't want to be controlled, and it is being controlled, who is doing the controlling?
Well, let us not go into these questions right now. We would never understand. Just let us understand that far. We come to that question. If I go into this now, that is too confusing. For you now to say is, you were not throwing during the day here, we said, that we are practicing here the meditation, the form of insight meditation, for the purpose of coming to understand the mental and the physical processes in ourselves. And we have no other tool with that, for that, except one capacity of the mind, which is attention or observing. Now you get the answer of your question, actually. You said, who is the controller? One quality of the mind we cultivate and use in order to make the mental processes known. In order to make the mental processes known to us, we can also say, we control the fickleness and discursiveness of the mind by constantly observing and attending to it, which is liking to produce at random always its own world. Thinking in all forms about past experiences, future experiences, and other circumstances and other situations, but never being here at this moment. You see, there comes the word controlled, what I say. Understand this, what I said? Wrong? You got the answer to your question.
Yes,
thank you. Yeah? See, we want to understand our mental processes, but we have no special tool except one quality out of the mental process. One quality is attention.
One part of the
whole mentality
has decided that it's going to control the other parts of the mind. That's what I understand by.
Yeah, now if you don't attack that word at control, if you see it as something of observing and allowing and mastering, then you are not so in conflict. But at the same time, the mind gets controlled in that, in a non-coercive way.
Excuse me. I thought I'd just add something on the tiredness as well. I just thought about one of the reasons why we tend to fall asleep is the way we're programmed in a way, because we are programmed in our relatively narrow life, that when we feel relaxed, it is because we're falling asleep. Yes. And when we go into meditation, we start feeling relaxed. So click, 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 and we start falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's mm-hmm. sort of the same old program in a way.
It's habitual.
Yeah.
You see, we are used to live in a habitual habit way. We have our reactions, for example. The habit is to push away, to not like or to like. That's one of the standard reactions we have. So we don't quite like here to sit and to observe the mind's action, to observe the breathing, to be attentive to my sitting position. Don't like. The result is, I cannot do anything else. I cannot turn on television, I cannot call a boy a friend, I cannot take my bicycle and make a run, or whatever. I still sit. I don't dare to go out because I would think others think bad of me. So, another reaction to distract that, to counteract, is to fall asleep. See? Because mind is now asked not to act in its habitual way. It shall stay awake to the process of sitting and breathing. We never do that. That is not programmed, you see. That is allowing to have an open mind with not reacting I like or dislike, but to be open in the mind and neutral, we said, and accept my breathing as it comes up, as it breathes in and breathes out, and accept also the feeling of sitting, the contact with the floor, whether it is comfortable or uncomfortable. But what we do is we don't do that. We're not staying in the open space of receiving, breathing in and breathing out. We not stay in the open space of accepting, sitting on the floor, sensing the weight, sensing the uprightness of the spine, sensing my hands together, sensing the posture of sitting quietly, in a quiet position. No, we're not programmed that way. We are programmed reacting, don't like. We're programmed liking. But what I like, I don't have. And I cannot have it because I am here sitting. So, I fall asleep, I react. Understand? If you understand that, then you're not so angry with your falling asleep. Or so discouraged and say, my God, where am I? Why did I come? You know, if I had known that, I would have never come. And again, that is a programmed reaction. You see, we are going counter to these standard reactions. We either stay in a space of liking or disliking. We stay in a space where we are just accepting and receptive. And that is difficult for the mind. That means I have to stay and control the mind. If you wrong, you see the word can come. By controlling, I mean we have to guard it to stay to one situation. And the situation is breathing in and breathing out, observing. In a way, the mind is controlled because it has to stay and observe attention, inattention to breathing in and out, or inattention to sitting. But at the same time, many thoughts come up, liking or disliking, wishing it otherwise, not accepting, remembering things, even hating it perhaps. And in this, when all this comes up, we have to stay with attention to this process of breathing and bring the mind back. Be just for what is, which is really only there, breathing in and breathing out and sitting. All what we think is not there and doesn't belong then to this moment. And that is difficult. We don't live that life. Whenever you do things, there's always a thinking there, in form of desires, in form of rejecting the world, or in form of wishing something else. Now tomorrow, or during the next period of sitting, that would be very interesting to see for you how much this comes up in us, how often we go away from this programmedness in us, how often we indulge in it, liking or disliking, wanting something else, and how often we do fail to be in the moment fully awake in an open space in the mind where I don't dislike and where I don't reject, where I just accept my in-breath and my out-breath, my sitting, my discomfort or my comfort, my uncomfortable feeling, and where I just be very receptive with my mind. Okay, even accept my tiredness. Accepting means I am awake with my attention to it. So accepting the tiredness does not mean falling asleep. It means you know of that tiredness. You may still do this, but it will be a little different. You fall, ah yes, I'm tired. I'm tired. You notice that tiredness, you know of it. And the mind which knows is the greatest, what is the one who is having victory? How do you call the person?
Victor.
Right. You conquer your tiredness by recognizing it always, by knowing it. And then you return to the basic function of our being. You attend then again to breathing. I am breathing in, I am breathing out. And at the same time you know that you are sitting. So that way we purify mind. I used the word before controlling, which I meant all this. This controlling is not a forcing and a suppressing, but it is actually you control the mind by being open and receive it. I'm tired. I know of it. I receive it. I accept it. And same way, I am breathing. I maybe breathe unsatisfactory. I breathe heavily. I breathe short or long, deep or very flat. You just accept that without wanting to change it, without desiring it differently. You keep faithful to that quality of the mind which we call attention or observing. I also can call it witnessing or noting. mind notes what is there. So, any other question with regard to this? Johan? No. Anybody else? You see, tiredness is one factor of the mind. It is not a physical thing alone. It is a mental factor, a mental aspect, a part of the mind. Like attention is not the whole mind. It's a quality, a characteristic, and a factor of the mind. Concentration, same thing. We know of it through the body. What is tired is not only the mind, but the body then too. And I can observe that and can feel it, but also I can see it in somebody else. It's a mental factor which is closely connected to the body. That means really understanding the unity of myself, of mind and body. When you can see the two, that they are function and interaction, but you see them both. Tiredness, so functioning through the body. So by this we have come, which I didn't want actually, to speak about the forces which are the mental aspects which are great hindrance for our practice. One of it is tiredness. So it isn't something very special to you now. It is a human condition. Tiredness, heaviness of mind and body is also to understand as inertia, the force of inertia in us.
What is that inertia?
Tillbakadragande the kraft.
You got it. Something basic, huh? It penetrated all over. It's inertia. Heavy to move, and that is actually not, it has, let me say this, it also has other names, cloudiness of mind, fuzziness, heaviness, mind and body, laziness, who knows that word, laziness, also representation of this deep force in us called inertia. And it is very feelable now in this practice, because we have nothing when we sit, by which we distract this inertia or mask it over. When I feel a little tired, usually, in the programmed way, what do we do after 5 o'clock work? They do a drink to perk up a little. They make a drink, or they smoke a cigarette. They call a friend to talk. They go swimming. They go jogging. They do anything, sing a song or whatever, turn on the television. That's what we do. Then we don't feel this inertia so much, when it becomes uncomfortable or we don't want it, we mask it. But in a practice like this, there is very little we can do about it. We have very little possibilities to mask it. And so we sit and we cannot hide it. We just are, so to speak, like naked. Little tiredness, off we go. And there are many around us, they see us, I see too. You see yourself, that is important. Experiencing it. So it isn't just alone a reaction to the world, to meditation, but it is just a very, very ingrained aspect of the mind, inertia or tiredness. Now we can counteract that in many ways. Maybe a story will tell you how. In a monastery, a Westerner comes. He falls asleep and is tired the first day, the second day, the third one, and goes on. He doesn't know what to do anymore, so he goes, he walked, and maybe he took a cold shower and stood on his head, jumped up, and didn't help much, fell over, still asleep. So the fifth day he goes to the master, said, "Master, I do so many things and I to overcome my tiredness, and I still fall asleep. I still feel myself being very lazy in concentrating the mind." He said, "You tried everything?" "Yes, I did." Well, he says, "Did you? You didn't try this one. What is?" Well, he said, "Go to a well and sit on the edge of it and look down."
Go to a
Well.
Shell button run. Shell.
Yeah. And sit at the edge of it and see what your tiredness does. In other words, when you sit on on the edge of a well and you see the deep abyss there, you might awake. Why? Because if you don't, you head it, you fall down. And the anxiety for that may keep you awake. I don't know whether he did it, but it's mm-hmm. a good advice. We don't have a well. Maybe you go on the chimney here tomorrow. Sit on the edge. Yeah, and sit at the edge and experience your tiredness. See, same thing. I'm sure I bring an elephant in here. There would be nobody would be tired. That moment you see him, you would jump out through the window, probably through the glass. Very fast you would act. See? Tiredness is also, when tiredness is there, it's a programmed reaction also. When it is there, it's also to be described as lack of attention or interest. You see, the elephant coming in also brings our interest up. And that awakes us. So, it's a very powerful force of tiredness, of inertia, which hinders our progress in meditation, which is also a very hindering force in our daily life. For whatever we want to do, when we just express ourselves in being lazy and not being able to overcome that. There are other powerful forces which we can call hindering forces for particular for this practice, and in general also very detrimental for our daily life living. But I think we have spoken enough. I'll do that tomorrow. Or are you still fresh?
Waking up, actually.
Yeah? Very good. So then let us go to another one, which is the force of desire. Desire. You understand all what that is?
Oh. Yeah.
The force of desire. See, another hindrance is... Did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Desire. Desire to the eyes for more seeing. Desire to the nose, more smelling. Desire to the ear, hearing, wanting more, better songs and more songs and better music and so on. Desire to the tongue, wanting to eat. Another thing to what I got, Alfred, more things, imaginary things. Desire for more touching. And the most greedy sense for desiring is actually the mind, which in this case, mind appears also as a sense. So, the mind wants more prestige, more ideas, more communication, constantly desiring, wants attraction, does not want, is also desire. So, when we don't observe that, and we don't awake to this desire in us, we find ourselves constantly in not being happy, naturally. Always wanting something that defeats the situation and brings the mind into a restless kind of state, not being content. And it can become endless because the nature of the desire is that it cannot be satisfied. Johann, you say that now. Not everyone got it.
Rut jämför sinnets begär med ett som ett ytterligare ett sinne. Vi kan se, vi kan känna, vi kan höra. Vi har också begär, det är ett av sinnena. Och principen med begäret är att det aldrig kan tillgodoses. Det kan aldrig tillgodoses. Begären finns alltid så länge vi inte är medvetna om det. Och until we get rid of the desire, or
no.
As long as we stay aware of them.
Aha. So first, being not aware of them become powerful force. Say that. Did you say that?
Yeah.
Being aware of it means that we allow them to be, but we don't react to them.
Att vi tillåter våra begär, men vi behöver inte stå under deras makt. Vi behöver inte lyda.
And we weaken the force of desiring more.
Och därför så försvagas den kraften. Våra begär blir inte lika starka.
Why we have to do that, to weaken it, is that the nature of the desire is not to be satisfied. it's not this satisfiable. That's important to say.
Begärets natur. You said it's not.
Yeah, the nature of the desire is that it cannot be satisfied. That has to say, when you have a desire, you satisfy it. After a little while, another desire comes. You satisfy that. After a little while, the desire is there, another one. You can see that in children. You buy them toys, and after a little while, off. Something more. You buy them that, after a little while they get tired of it. The same way we have had many desires fulfilled, and when we got them fulfilled, we didn't want it anymore. You see? It can, so that means another desire came up. The nature of the desire is only accumulating and wanting more, but not to be able to satisfy. Ja,
begärets natur är alltså det att det kan aldrig tillgodoses. Som med små barn så får man hela tiden nya begär, hur mycket man än försöker tillfredsställa de gamla.
The importance here is that when we don't awake to it, we live unconsciously with a force of desire in us which constitutes or creates in us always unrest and wanting. And little more, you see? A restless state. Dissatisfied state. Say that.
Det är tydligen så att vi hela tiden går omkring med en känsla av otillfredsställdhet.
That means we are not accepting. We always giving into the next desire. And put force energy to satisfy that. And when we satisfy it, it is after a short while a new desire coming, because we are not happy with what was fulfilled.
Vår energi tycks gå ut på att vi hela tiden ägnar oss åt att tillfredsställa de här begären som dyker upp, och det är bland annat det som förblindar vår tillvaro.
So you see, it is important to awake to the force of desire. Like it is important to awake to the force of inertia in us. That way we begin to understand a little bit what is in us. Desire. Desire to all this coming through all the senses, and constantly the senses want more, better, or less, or don't want. Same thing. And when I begin to understand and to await, a desire in me, a desirous mind, a desirous ear, a desirous eye. Then I just note this and stay in the space of not reacting. I just take notice of the mind having a desire and don't run away or do something. I just sit. But I note what is in here. It makes the mind quiet. Wrong? It controls the mind.
But you, this is very interesting. But I, can it be this as well, that the grounded desire. You said that we open ourselves to tiredness and to desire.
Mm-hmm.
That these things are qualities that are coming into us.
No, they are there.
They are there, mm-hmm. And we open up to them.
We awake to it. We become conscious.
Conscious of
mm-hmm.
it.
Usually the human being is not conscious what is functioning in the mind as a force of desire. They are blindly and compulsively and impulsive running to the satisfying of the desire.
But desire is always there.
Always coming through. Not always, most of the time. You begin to watch tomorrow through the day how many mental activity is taken up by desire. And see. Now I can imagine that you are a little bit quieter about it, that you don't get unhappy and cry when you cannot fulfill that desire right away. So that you continue doing your work and just let the desire go and pass by. Most people are not doing that. They are getting caught in this, trying to satisfy that desire. For example, you find yourself here sitting, meditating. Suddenly your desire says, I could be now in Stockholm and visiting friends. Now if you don't awake to that, that desire can become very strong and you more and more you put energy into this desire till you don't like to be here. It can become so strong that you split. Then you go to Stockholm and find that friend and you find out that he doesn't even need your company. Maybe. And you don't like that either there. The desire is fulfilled and you found out that's not what you really wanted. Then the desire may come, why did I go away?
But there is a nature of desire. Human beings have a nature of desire.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, that's right. And to come to the ground of desire doesn't mean that desire is extinguished. It means that you simply live with desire. And when one comes to the ground of desire, one perhaps experiences love.
Are you telling me? Or are you having a question, Rom?
I'm laying this before you. Do you think it's...
That's what I already said. Yeah. I said, we are staying in the space of openness and accepting and receptivity. So when the desire arises, I don't react. I let it be. It becomes weaker, the desire, the force of desire, and I go to the next, what I am doing. You see? So it cannot catch me. It cannot put me into the state of unrest and unsatisfactoriness. And when unsatisfactory is not present, what is there? Satisfactory. And when satisfactoriness is there, then is happiness there. See? That's what you just said. I said that before. So it's only in a different way. You see, we're working here kind of backwards. First to remove the negativities and become aware of that condition. Then heart is free and open and loving. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to talk about love then. When you have removed all the hindering forces in such a way that you become aware of them. Understand? The very, very wonderful way, non-coercive, available and easy to for everyone to do. All what we have to do is being attentive and being mindful. And it comes very clear about by observing the body. By having a focus in the body, the mental forces come up and I learn about them. I observe breathing in and breathing out is physical. But whilst I do that, the mind tells me a lot of things. And we are talking about now one form which the mind brings up is desire. And by being quiet and observing, I will see what and recognize what the mind brings up, throws up. One form was tiredness, hindering force. Another one, desire, hindering. Bringing about a state of discontent and restlessness, of unsatisfactoriness and disturbance. So, Björn?
Desire is dis-ease.
That's right. Holding your neck, huh? Dis-ease.
Dis-ease.
Yes. You are desire, isn't it? That's what you're saying?
No, I was just saying that because it's a funny way of saying it. It's Bhagavan who says that.
I see. Oh, disease, yes.
This. But he says dis-ease.
Yeah, that means no ease.
Yeah.
You see? Desire is no ease. It doesn't put me at ease. If I want now music, I want that rock and roll, I want to go to the discotheque, why am I here? No, God, that kind of snack, the tea was lousy. It wasn't enough to eat. I want something else now. Then you find yourself, you want the touch of your lover, and you can't have it right now. So I want it, and why can I not have it? And you go on wishing and desiring. Then the next one, you want to dream your world of dreams, and she tells you to be attentive to breathing. So that is not... I cannot do that. So I desire constantly, and it's flushing into my mind. Well, that is a form of being which is not at ease. You see? So suddenly I have all these desires and don't know even to which one I want to go, so I become a little bit restless. See, I want all these things. And can't have. Then we are right now into the third form of hindrance of fata, which is called restlessness. Agitation. Not wanting. Not being able to accept what is now. I have no ease again, you see. I'm at it. I'm diseased. I'm cut loose of ease, restlessness. You know what that is? That feeling?
What are you asking me?
To translate. What do you think I would ask you now?
What you asked if do you know what this disease means? Also. Restlessness is.
Also, no, when I show it to you, you are my interpreter now.
Okay.
For tonight. Björn did it through the day.
The word disease and desire is very particular in English.
Oh yeah?
Men på engelska så betyder ju alltså ordet begär har en språklig likhet med ordet sjukdom. Eller till och med död. Diseased betyder ju död.
No, that's deceased.
That's what I know.
Which is slightly different.
But don't put us to death here.
No,
I like you to just talk about the next. Say, when we have too many desires, there comes a state of dis-ease, not being at ease or comfortable, and then we are right there in the third form of hindering force, restlessness.
Vi har gått igenom två slag av tillstånd där det andra var begäret. Och genom studiet av begäret, om man upplever sitt eget begär, så kommer man så småningom till rastlöshet, va? Eller stresssituation, när man känner sig stressad och inte vet vad man ska göra utav sina begär. Då. Man har olika begär och också styras hela tiden av olika. Man känner tveksamhet i vad man ska göra och man blir helt tokig.
Yeah? Did he say that my feel, you understand? Those who heard my saying and his. Does it go together?
Yeah.
Yes? Ulla? Ulla?
Elsa.
Elsa?
Yes.
It did. Very good. It's difficult to translate these things. We are speaking about the mind. And we never observe these things. And we never speak in these terms. So it's difficult to find the right wording to bring it into the right understanding.
How was it with the third aspect? 1, 2, 3.
Restlessness.
What's the first step of the
Oh, the first was tiredness, we mentioned.
Yeah.
And then was desire, sensual desire, and now we have restlessness. Restlessness is that state which wants many things, but it's not really sure what, but only one thing it is sure, it does not want the present moment.
Någonting som kännetecknar rastlösheten är att den inte kan acceptera nuet.
It's also a form of non-decision.
Obeslutsamhet.
I can't decide. A very morbid state of being.
Ett tillstånd som är morbid, säger hon.
Yes.
Vad säger hon på svenska bättre? Jag vet inte.
Out of this state of being, many, many crimes are created and committed, and many, many unwholesome actions in this world. When I'm restless, the mind is ready to do anything just to get out of this dis-ease. And it is having no contemplation, it has no concern, it has only one thing in mind, to get out of the present situation.
That is don't har fått fram en väldig massa brott och ohälsosamma beteenden i världshistorien. Därför att när man är i rastlöshet så kan man tillgripa vad som helst för att komma ut ur det tillståndet. Vad som helst kan kännas bättre än den här stressade situationen.
With respect to mental training, restlessness is very detrimental mental factor, very hindering force. Because it puts the mind out of the space where it is open and accepting and neutral.
Rastlösheten får oss obalanserade och
den 11 juli 1980, första dagen meditationskursen med Rutenison, Ljusbacken.
Tired. How did go the work? Let me see. I don't know names yet. Elsa, where are you?
Here.
Yes. How was your working?
Oh, I was carrying the baby around.
Oh, you were the babies.
Mm-hmm.
Did it go well? Were you satisfied?
Yes, it was good. What came up was after a while, when the baby started to cry, and he said, "Oh, I'm not good enough for this." And it went very well before.
So, when a baby's crying, it's just like the sunshine or the rain on the sky. It's a phenomenon which is belonging to a baby crying. But I have experience often that doesn't only belong actually to babies. No. We big ones, grown up ones, cry also in other forms. Crying for something. It's a human phenomenon. With babies, I think it's more, not necessarily that it is always the expression for wanting something else. I think it is part of their entertainment, crying. So, well, anyway, that was good, Elsa. You had some relationship.
Yeah.
You awoke in some way here in your world. Ulla, she is sick. So she is a baby now. Herself. Jan, Didmer, Jan. Or Jan.
Yes.
Jan. I have two. One Didmer and one Jan Hermfeld. Where's
Jan?
Jan
is sick, his friend is not lying in his bed.
Aha. See, there's a second one who's sick today. I think our friend Trip didn't feel well either. He left. These are kind of natural reactions to a practice like this. Mind feels that it gets trained, and we are somehow after this mind, trying to balance it, to control it, to connect it more, to get it known. And it does not want to let this happen. Why? Because mind is very happy when it can flitter like a monkey from branch to branch and create its own world without any control. You all know that. We daydream. We love it. Hmm? We dream of old experiences of the past. We lick it. And we also are very worried for what will occur, or very anticipating in a joyful or in a pleasant way. What is going to happen tomorrow or another day or another day? So it always is somewhere else the mind, but not now here, you see. The baby cries, the mind did not accept. I hold the baby and cry. It says, "Oh, I must not be good." It has something else created. And that is what we are trying to awaken in us. What the mind is playing, where it is going, and to get it known each moment. Well, I hope you understood all what I said. Who did not understand everything? What I just said about the mind. Mm-hmm. One, two. Not more. Did you understand everything? Why didn't you raise your hand then?
Is it a question of English or is it a question of understanding?
English. Mm-hmm. English. Well, it would be mean also of understanding, you see. If you don't grasp the words, you can hardly understand. I think it goes both together. Not in all cases, but in most. So who didn't understand the English?
Vem förstod inte engelska utav det här?
Everybody? Yes, another question about the work. That was very good, Elsa, what you shared. Who's Jakob Gordon?
He's not here.
There are many not here. Paulden. I know he is here. Paulden, yes.
It was very good, actually.
Yeah?
It was very good work.
Well, can you be more specific?
Yes, putting up the hay. And I found quite a good, how can I say, sense of unity with what I was doing.
Relationship, it's also good to say.
Yeah.
With you and the work. Hmm?
Yeah.
Unity or relationship.
It was also, I've been putting up hay a lot recently, and, and it was relative to the other times that I've been putting up hay, for example, it was quite
better.
Enjoyable.
Can you tell why it was more enjoyable than other times? Could you detect that?
I guess partially a better sort of flow inside me.
Perhaps also that you were not with your thoughts somewhere else.
Yes.
You see, yes. You were accepting your activity, and in when the mind is not desiring anything else, you are just in relationship with what is, you see, and then it is enjoyable. Very good, Paulden. I just like to know a few things of this for...
I would say, actually, in correcting that, I would say my mind was somewhere else quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
But it's sort of the bringing back of the mind.
That's it. You were knowing that, remembering here and then. You see, you said you brought it back. That means you remember and you were aware that mind was somewhere else. That means you you did not allow it all the time to run into its own world and to stay there. When the mind is unobserved for a long time, it creates not only a new world for itself, but it creates new desires and rejects the present moment. When you bring it back, you create the relationship more with what is there. You don't allow the mind to run into fields and to desire something different than what is, you see. That makes that more fuller relatedness to my work. That was very good. Pardon. So, another one perhaps, because we talked so much this morning, or 2 hours this morning I gave this discourse, I don't want to do another discourse tonight. So I only ask a few questions, how we related and experienced the day. I did it in a more personal level, the 10 I had this afternoon. The next 10 will come tomorrow. Sometimes it is good, or often, to share experiences with each other. It lets us also know that I am not alone experiencing the sadness or the pleasantness or the distractedness, whatever. I'm sharing my experiences with many other friends or fellow pilgrims. Well, let us see how Christina was working. Christina.
Here I am.
Oh yes, Christina.
I work where the wood, can't find the word.
Wood?
Wood.
Yes, we understand, mm-hmm. Wood. Mm-hmm.
Well, it felt good to work.
It did.
But I'm not quite well in my body, and I felt tired very soon.
Aha. Uh-huh. During the work, you felt tired?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was it in the first time of meditation before I came down? Tired too? Yeah, right now, this evening.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you awoke from your tiredness?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feeling tired is also a very natural phenomenon of life. When we overexhaust ourselves, overexert, we are tired. However, special in a course like this, in a practice like this, tiredness is very natural. It's a reaction also to this action or activity of the mind, observing. It does not like to be recognized, as we said before, the mind, and then it reacts and blocks and comes up with tiredness. It's a form of resistance for
resistance
meditation.
Would stop.
Hmm?
Oh, I just translate.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe you translate this about the tiredness, Björn. Mm-hmm. Christina mentioned that she was tired.
Almost. Försvarsmekanism hos sinnet som inte vill omforma sig. Då blir man trött.
Did you say that? That was very short. Johan, you have so much pleasure with this. It was very short, huh? The translation.
Yes.
Was it right? Adequate? See how difficult it is to translate just speaking about tiredness. Now hear it again. So many mention now that we are being tired. I also see when I came down the staircase. Throughout the day, many of you were performing meditation like this. So, Christina said that she even was tired during the work. Now, I say that tiredness can have the source in our exhaustion or in over by coming here and the efforts we used. But on a deeper level, it has its source in that mind does not want to be controlled and to be mastered, which we do here in this practice. Now you translate that.
Det är inte bara trötthet efter resan som gör att man blir trött när man sitter här. Det är också det att sinnet vill inte bli kontrollerat, för det har den inledning ovant vid. Och då reagerar kroppen, sinnet och kroppen är som en enhet och man blir trött.
Good.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
If you say that the mind doesn't want to be controlled,
mm-hmm.
and it is being controlled, who is doing the controlling?
Well, let us not go into these questions right now. We would never understand. Just let us understand that far. We come to that question. If I go into this now, that is too confusing for you now to say is, you were not showing during the day here, we said that we are practicing here the meditation, the form of insight meditation, for the purpose of coming to understand the mental and the physical processes in ourselves. And we have no other tool with that, for that, except one capacity of the mind, which is attention or observing. Now you get the answer of your question, actually. You said, who is the controller? One quality of the mind we cultivate and use in order to make the mental processes known. In order to make the mental processes known to us, we can also say, we control the fickleness and discursiveness of the mind by constantly observing and attending to it, which is liking to produce at random, always its own world. Thinking in all forms about past experiences, future experiences, and other circumstances and other situations, but never being here at this moment. You see, there comes the word controlled, what I say. Understand this, what I said? Wrong? You got the answer to your question.
Yes, thank
you. Yeah? See, we want to understand our mental processes, but we have no special tool except one quality out of the mental process. One quality is attention.
One part of the
whole mentality
has decided that it's going to control the other parts of the mind. That's what I understand by.
Yeah, now if you don't attack that word at control, if you see it as something of observing and allowing and mastering, then you are not so in conflict. But at the same time, the mind gets controlled in that, in a non-coercive way.
Excuse me. I thought I'd just add something on the tiredness as well. I just thought about one of the reasons why we tend to fall asleep is the way we're programmed in a way, because we are programmed in our relatively narrow life that when we feel relaxed, it is because we're falling asleep.
Yes.
And when we go into meditation, we start feeling relaxed, so click-tick-click-tick-tick-tick-tick, and we start falling asleep. Again, it's sort of the same old program, in a way.
It's habitual.
Yeah.
You see, we are used to live in a habitual habit way. we have our reactions, for example. The habit is to push away, to not like or to like. That's one of the standard reactions we have. So we don't quite like here to sit and to observe the mind's action, to observe the breathing, to be attentive to my sitting position. Don't like. The result is I cannot do anything else. I cannot turn on television, I cannot call a boy a friend, I cannot take my bicycle and make a run, or whatever. I still sit. I don't dare to go out because I would think others think bad of me. So another reaction to distract that, to counteract, is to fall asleep. See? because mind is now asked not to act in its habitual way. It shall stay awake to the process of sitting and breathing. We never do that. That is not programmed, you see. That is allowing to have an open mind with not reacting I like or dislike, but to be open in the mind and neutral, we said, and accept my breathing as it comes up, as it breathes in and breathes out, and accept also the feeling of sitting, the contact with the floor, whether it is comfortable or uncomfortable. But what we do is we don't do that. We're not staying in the open space of receiving, breathing in and breathing out. We not stay in the open space of accepting, sitting on the floor, sensing the weight, sensing the uprightness of the spine, sensing my hands together, sensing the posture of sitting quietly, in a quiet position. No, we're not programmed that way. We are programmed reacting, don't like. We programmed liking. But what I like, I don't have. And I cannot have it because I am here sitting. So, I fall asleep, I react. Understand? If you understand that, then you're not so angry with your falling asleep. Or so discouraged and say, my God, where am I? Why did I come? You know, if I had known that, I would have never come. And again, that is a programmed reaction. You see, we are going counter to these standard reactions. We either stay in a space of liking or disliking. We stay in a space where we are just accepting and receptive. And that is difficult for the mind. That means I have to stay and control the mind. If you wrong, you see the word can come. By controlling I mean we have to guard it to stay to one situation. And the situation is breathing in and breathing out, observing. In a way, the mind is controlled because it has to stay and observe attention, inattention to breathing in and out, or inattention to sitting. But at the same time, many thoughts come up, liking or disliking, wishing it otherwise. Not accepting, remembering things, even hating it perhaps. And in this, when all this comes up, we have to stay with attention to this process of breathing and bring the mind back. Be just for what is, which is really only there, breathing in and breathing out and sitting. All what we think is not there and doesn't belong then to this moment. And that is difficult. We don't live that life. Whenever you do things, there's always a thinking there, in form of desires, in form of rejecting the world, or in form of wishing something else. Now tomorrow, or during the next period of sitting, that would be very interesting to see for you how much this comes up in us, how often we go away from this programmedness in us, or how often we indulge in it. Liking or disliking, wanting something else, and how often we do fail to be in the moment fully awake in an open space in the mind where I don't dislike and where I don't reject, where I just accept my in-breath and my out-breath, my sitting, my discomfort or my comfort, my uncomfortable feeling, and where I just be very receptive with my mind. Okay, even accept my tiredness. Accepting means I am awake with my attention to it. So accepting the tiredness does not mean falling asleep. It means you know of that tiredness. You may still do this, but it will be a little different. You fall, yes, I'm tired. I'm tired. You notice that tiredness, you know of it. And the mind which knows is the greatest, what is the one who is having victory? How do you call the person?
Victor.
Victor, right. You conquer your tiredness by recognizing it always, by knowing it. And then you return to the basic function of our being. You attend then again to breathing. I am breathing in, I am breathing out. And at the same time, you know that you are sitting. So that way, we purify mind. I used the word before, controlling, which I meant all this. This controlling is not a forcing and a suppressing, but it is actually you control the mind by being open and receive it. I'm tired, I know of it, I receive it, I accept it. And same way, I am breathing, I maybe breathe unsatisfactory, I breathe heavily, I breathe short or long, deep or very flat. You just accept that without wanting to change it, without desiring it differently. You keep faithful to that quality of the mind which we call attention or observing. I also can call it witnessing or noting. Mind notes what is there. So, any other question with regard to this? Johan? No. Anybody else? You see, tiredness is one factor of the mind. It is not the physical thing alone. It is a mental factor, a mental aspect, a part of the mind. Like attention is not the whole mind. It's a quality, a characteristic, and a factor of the mind. Concentration, same thing. We know of it through the body. what is tired is not only the mind, but the body then too. And I can observe that and can feel it, but also I can see it in somebody else.